Welcome to Spin Control, a Fibercraft podcast from Forever Handmade. Everybody, welcome to Spin Control, episode 154, Happy Place. In this episode, I've got some knitting and some spinning and some adventures. And of course, we will kick this off with some updates. So when I last recorded, I talked about my trip to Cripple Creek, where we'd be camping for the first time of the season. Use the term season for camping season relatively loosely because weather pending, we might run off any time of year to go camping. Like last March in the snow, we ran off to the Great Sand Dunes and camped just outside the national park for the boys' birthday. But the full season where we will camp really regularly, like every hopefully 2 to 3 weeks, is upon us. And we did go to Cripple Creek for Memorial Day weekend, and we had a really good time with our friends, and everything went perfectly. The camper's all set up for the rest of the season, which is awesome, and everything is working as it should. So that makes me really, really happy. And then on the 2nd of June, we ran off to Rocky Mountain National Park and spent a week up there, actually 6 days, with a bunch of my knit girls, and we enjoyed the Estes Park Wool Market that weekend, the weekend of the 9th. So that would be, I think it starts the Thursday before and lasts through Sunday, but that weekend was the Estes Park Wool Market, and that was a lot of fun. I didn't take any classes this year, but I enjoyed being in the national park, which I think is the biggest draw for me now. And I had a good time patronizing the vendors that were at the event and seeing some stuff. It was pretty awesome. Yeah. And if I had had like $22,000 just laying around, I would have ended up with a Brother Drum Carter mini mill. It was so cool. But no, I do not have enough fleece to process and enough money just laying around to justify purchasing a mini mill. But it was really, really cool to see one in operation. And it was like so quiet. I was like super surprised. But the footprint's really small, and it's a giant drum carter, and it spits out roving at the other end. And it was just really cool. And I'm so glad I got to see that. But that wasn't like the high point of my week. The high point of my week was literally just being on vacation with the boy and hanging out with knit friends that I don't get to see as often anymore. But that was a great time to catch up and hang out and just really be on, you know, I guess, forest time. It was great. It was great. I enjoyed it. I had a blast. And I'm really glad that we got to go, and I'm sad that it's over. But of course, we'll be there again next year. So there's always that. What else has been going on? Really, that is the biggest events that I've had in the last 2 weeks is 2 great, amazing camping trips that were perfect. I always enjoy the Rocky Mountain National Park. We didn't hike and stuff as much as we did last year. Boy went on long mountain bike rides every day. I spent a lot of time in my pajamas. I drank coffee that I made in my French press and just chilled. It was a really, really good time. Fireside knitting, of course, is always fun. And yeah, it was just a blast. It looks like that's just about all I've got going on in updates. So I guess it's time to get this podcast started. In this edition of Spin a Tale, I'm going to talk about my happy place. No, this isn't my usual happy place. This is really about the search for my happy place. I haven't found it yet. Ever since I left my big girl job, I'm not really swimming upstream, but I'm just kind of floating along with the current and trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. And I'm not sure how I feel about it. I'm still looking for my happy place. I'm still looking for that level of involvement, engagement, productivity, where I feel like I'm an active member of society and also feel like I am not being held back by the man. No, that sounds so terrible. Yeah, I got my first job when I was 14. We delivered papers. It was terrible. And then I started working part-time when I was 15 and a half, when we moved the last time when I was in high school. And then when I moved to Colorado, I had almost a year off of work. And that felt terrible because I felt like I absolutely needed a job. And yeah, that was the longest time I had been unemployed since I was 15 and a half years old. I know I only left my job just over a month ago, but I don't know that I'm interested in, willing, able to like go back to a place where I have to suit up every day and play nice with other adults and use my intellect, my skills, and my ability for the betterment of someone other than myself. I don't know that I'm there. So I have a lot of contemplation to do in the weeks to come to, yeah, try to find a way to enjoy my freedom and also continue to, you know, pay the bills because bills got to get paid. Yeah, so I'm still searching for my happy place. I'm still very optimistic about what my future could hold. I just really have to, I don't know, maybe I need to start writing stuff down, like planning, like in order to reach point B from point A, what are all the steps I have to take or the map that I need to follow to get to point B? But yeah, so that's my biggest contemplation lately. A lot of silent contemplation about the search for my happy place. Pretty happy right now, but I'm also a little nervous because I don't have a job. And it's been a long time since I haven't had a job. So it's scary. So when you're out there thinking about me and listening to this podcast, go ahead and put together, like gather all the good vibes you can muster and send them my way so that in the weeks to come, maybe I can actually lock in what my happy place is and start traversing the path to get there. And now it's on to spinning my wheels. And I have been doing some finishing, which is great. And I've been doing some starting as well. Since we last spoke, I did finish all of the knitting on the Pearl Code sweater. All I have left to do is weave in the ends and block it. And after trying it on, I definitely 100% am committed to steam blocking instead of soaking and laying out flat because I'm afraid it's going to stretch in a way that I just won't be as happy with it as I am right this second. So I was worried about the sleeve length. Well, actually, I was worried about the sleeve diameter because I thought taking it from like the original stitch count all the way down to 48 stitches with the recurrent decreases that it was going to be too snug on my wrists, but it didn't seem to be getting too snug. So I just kept knitting until I reached the recommended stitch count for the size I was knitting. And then I tried it on again and the sleeves were way too long because I hadn't even done the ribbing yet. So I'm like, yep, nope, that's not going to work at all. When I finished the decreases, the sleeve was actually landing exactly where I would want my sleeve to land finished, like with the ribbing and everything. I ended up ripping back about 2.5 inches so that I could add the ribbing, but the sleeve would end up the length that I desired. So the recommended stitch count for the size I was knitting was 48 stitches after you finish the decreases. But I actually ripped back enough that I ended up with 54 stitches, but it wasn't too loose, so super happy. I had high hopes that I would have finished before I left for my trip to the Rocky Mountain National Park so that I could show the Knit Girls my finished object, but I actually ended up spending most of my crafting time while I was in the national park working on the Pearl Code sweater. I finished it like on the fifth day of camping, but I did finish it and that makes me super happy. And I had brought enough other projects with me that I wasn't like out of knitting, but I really hoped that I would finish it before we got to the campsite, but I was wrong. That did not happen. which is fine because it's done now. I totally finished a sweater. And of course, it is too warm to wear it. It would have been cool enough to wear it in the national park because it was dipping down into like the 40s overnight and 30s. So it 100% would have been cool enough to wear it in the national park. And I also figured out, with the help of the Knit Girls, as they have done for me in the last 3 years, I got recommendations for my next sweater pattern. So the first year that we did this, Lisa, Linda, and Anne had brought like recommendations. They didn't bring recommendations. We just sat around and talked about sweaters I should try. That's how I ended up knitting The Weekender by Andrea Mowry, the Felix Pullover. I can't remember off the top of my head who designed that. And then also Pearl Code by Isabel Kramer. And I have my next pattern selected based on recommendations. Lisa was wearing this beautiful sweater called Granito by Pohi Locatelli. And it's super cute. And it's got pockets. And I am going to cast that on as my next project to have finished in a 12-month period. You know I will knit a whole ton more between now and then. But the target is at some point in the next 12 months, I will cast on and finish that sweater and have it with me for show and tell when I get to the national park next year. So super happy about that and super excited. It's a really gorgeous sweater. And it was awesome that Lisa was wearing it in the park so I could see it like in real life. It was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. I also finished grafting the toes on the machine knit socks that I had remade. I also kind of had hoped, well, I didn't really plan to finish those before I got to the national park because I wanted to have an example of the grafting method to share with the girls when I got to the national park. I wanted them to be able to see the technique I've been talking about. So I saved that for when I was in the national park and I was able to show everybody how I did that toe. So that was cool, but those are done, 100% done and ready to wear. And I'm super excited about that. So I did quite a bit of finishing. Those two items got finished. I did not finish the labor and socks. My current goal is to try to knit 20 rows a day on those socks. So in no time, I'll actually have a pair of socks. I heard, we were talking about it when we were, you know, campfire side, and I don't know if it was Lisa or Linda, but someone had said that Yarn Harlot was literally just talking about that, about how she sets aside time to knit 10 rows each on two socks a day, and she's doing a pair of socks a month, and that guarantees that she'll actually finish a pair of socks in a month. I'm like, well, that's a great idea. When was the last time I knit 12 pair of socks in a year? I'd go so far as to say never. But if I add that to my list of things to accomplish in a day, I should have no problem at all getting that done. And I think y'all know this is pretty unusual for me to only be knitting on one sock at a time. So instead of doing 10 stitches per sock per day, I'm going to do 20 stitches on the one sock. Or, Lord, 20 rows. So I'm trying to commit to knitting 20 rows a day on the labor and socks until they are done. I mean, what a great idea. But I'm not surprised that Stephanie Promethy would come up with something like that. I'm sure she's not the only person either that's taking this kind of approach. So I'm going to try it and see how that works out. And outside of working on those three dedicated projects, I've really been only swatching. So I did commit to taking some random scrap yarn with me and some needles so that I could mess around with some increases because I want to design a raglan sweater. But I want to use the increases as a design element. I have a couple ideas in my head, so that's working out pretty well. Yeah, the original idea I had in my head, I completely ruled out because I got to swatching and did not like the way that it was turning out at all. I actually kind of hated it. So not going to do that. But I'm swatching for some other ideas, and at least one of them is working out and making me happy. I just need to add a little bit more detail to that one and see if that's like the winner, chicken dinner, right? And I, so so that I'm not hurting anybody. This is probably just going to be like a worsted weight sweater on like size 7 needles. So it's a pretty fast knit. And it's really just to get that whole purse sweater design under my belt. So wish me luck that this actually pans out. Hopefully, by the time I record next, I will actually have this sweater cast on and in the works. That should be pretty cool. And I'm pretty excited. I'm still spinning the Into the World that I had started for my travels, but for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's because the temperatures were a little bit colder than normal and it was quite a bit rainier than when we normally go to the national park. I didn't actually pull the spinning out at all when I was in the national park. I had it packed in its little travel case because I'm working on my data list, Sparrow. I had it with me, it was in the vehicle, but I just never pulled it out and spun on it. So I'm actually have been working on that a little bit since I got home and it's coming along. It's actually spinning up quite a bit finer than what I normally do. This is like a just for fun, quick 4 ounce spin that's great for travel. Because it doesn't take too much concentration. And I'm kind of using my default drafting method, but it's kind of, it seems to be spinning up way finer than what I normally get with this method, which is interesting. And I can't wait to see what the final yarn is. And so when I do my quick projects, what I do is I just do, it's like a short forward draft, almost a semi-woolen method, because I don't smooth back the yarn. I literally just pull it out of the supply and let the twist go back into the supply. And then I end up doing a chain ply because it's just fun and fast. And that's kind of like my little palette cleanser reset method. And that's what I'm using this current project for this fiber is pretty fantastic. And I'm enjoying it, but it's actually turning out way finer than my normal, go-to default drafting method. I'm interested to see what weight I end up with. Like, I don't have a target weight. Sometimes I do. This is not a let's aim for a worsted weight or fingering weight or any of those. This is literally like, hey, let's just spin this and see what happens. So yeah, that's where I'm at with that. That's all the spinning I've done, but I have had some fibery adventures since last time we spoke. The Thursday and Friday before we went to the national park were shearing days at the alpaca breeder. So I don't shear my own boys anymore because that was actually a lot of headache and led to a lot of shortcuts and a lot of less than quality fleece for the spinning. So what we do is we take our three alpaca over to the breeder's farm at shearing time. And they get shorn by a professional shearer at the same time as all of the breeder's alpaca get shorn. And we do like a little system. I mean, I pay for the process, I pay for the service, but I also board the boys over there for a while and I volunteer to help out in the whole process. And this year was actually a pretty small year for the volume that we did during shearing. We sheared as a group, like the shearer did the work, but we position the boys, make sure everybody's got their vaccinations, their teeth, their nails are trimmed. Any of those services that they need, they get done all at the same time. So we did that for 99 alpaca and one llama. And we used a different shearer this year than we had in years past, but it was great. They did a really wonderful job. The young men that they had on this crew were super professional and fast. And I think all the alpaca look amazing. And yeah, I'm super happy. But I was there and I helped with like all 99 alpaca. And typically the job I end up with is I clean up after, like they're done on each pad. So they'll do, while they're shearing one animal, the volunteers are getting the next animal ready to be shorn in position and all of those sorts of things so that the shearer doesn't have to worry about that and we don't lose any time. So when an animal comes out of shearing, there's a lot of like leftover bits and things like that on the shearing mat that I clean up and get out of the way. And while they're actually executing the shearing for the animal on my mat, I gather and organize the alpaca's blanket and collect samples so they can send it off for testing and micron measurements to the lab and all of that stuff. So it's pretty cool. So we, have a nice little system where we're using two mats at the same time, and we're knocking out in about, I'd say it was a total over 2 days, 12 hours of shearing 99 alpaca and one llama. And it was a lot of fun. And I'm really glad that I was able to help this year because I was not available last year. Well, one, because shearing was in the middle of the week and I worked full time and I wasn't able to volunteer and help out last year. This year, it was in the middle of the week, but I was not on the job. So I was able to help. It was a lot of fun. We actually had fewer volunteers this year than we've had in years past, but we were still able to knock out all the shearing for those animals in a pretty decent amount of time. I mean, like in years past, I think the largest shearing I've been a part of at this farm was like 137 animals. So almost 40 less this year, but still a lot of work for 2 days. But I enjoyed it and I'm really happy I was able to be there and help out because my alpaca breeder is kind of aging. he's not getting down on his knees to, collect and fold up an alpaca fleece blanket. That's for us younger folk, right? But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I didn't get a whole lot of spinning done, but I definitely got some fiber play in a totally different way. Well, it looks like it is time to spin off this episode of Spin Control. Thank you all for tuning in and listening, and I'm so happy that you could make it over here for another episode. In the weeks to come, we have a couple of small adventures, nothing major like a huge camping trip or anything. But this coming weekend, Itty Bitty turns 24 years old, and that's pretty exciting. And the whole family is going to meet in Denver, and we have some surprise adventure plans for her. And that should be a lot of fun. And the day after her adventures is Father's Day. So Itty Bitty and Bird are pretty stoked and excited to be able to take their papa out to brunch. So that should be a lot of fun. In the weeks to come, I will have a lot of videos to record. One, I am definitely going to record a video about that grafting method for the socks. I had recorded the episode and then went off to the campsite, and everybody that had listened to the podcast before we arrived at camping was extremely curious about what I was talking about. So I think I'm going to have to provide a visual tutorial for you folks so you guys can see exactly what I'm talking about and how I adapt this circular sock machine method to kind of my everyday knitting. And it's pretty cool and I like it. So I'm definitely going to do a video for that. And I'm also pretty darn excited because I didn't know it until like the week before we went camping. But one of the other knit girls has acquired an antique Gearhart circular sock knitting machine. And I am looking forward to helping her learn how to use it. We only had a couple of days to slide in some time for playing with the circular sock machine while we were on the campsite. So I definitely have a lot more to share from my experience to get her off and running and hopefully successfully knitting socks. I'm sure it'll take no time at all, but I need to, we'll probably do some like FaceTime sessions and things like that. But in the meantime, to get her started on some stuff, I'm gonna do some video recordings so that she's got a little helping hand, even though I can't be there in person. And I'll probably post those to the public, depending on how they turn out, on the YouTube channel. Leading us out this week, I have a song called Who's Laughing Now by a band called Dury. And we saw them a few years ago at this free music festival out at Copper Mountain, and they were pretty entertaining, and this song is hilarious, and I hope you enjoy it. And as always, you can get the details about this episode and all the past episodes at spincontrolpodcast.com. You can email me at shiloh@foreverhandmade.com. Catch me on Ravelry and Instagram as Forever Handmade. Thanks again, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Job. living days away.